Y'all, we are continuing our fall series of Midweek in the City, and I am so excited to be back in Wolfson House this Wednesday for dinner at 7 o'clock and discussion. We are going to talk about the seasons. Now, I know it's still 90 degrees and it's supposed to be fall, but we can talk about the physical seasons, like the weather, but also spiritual seasons and the liturgical calendar and all these kinds of things that we're meant to live by but are easy to ignore. And so we're going to talk about how to live seasonally. You may have heard about eating seasonally, right? Eating the right veggies during the right season. And that's important. But we're going to think about how to pray seasonally, how to live seasonally when it comes to our spiritual lives. So come and join us. So we can pretend it's nice and crisp fall air. We can have apples or something like that. But come for a really important conversation about how to live in spiritual seasons well. We'll see you there at Wednesday, 7 o'clock in Wolfson House. I can't wait. I didn't mean to say your name on the microphone, but I grabbed it and then you walked in. Yes. Hi, y'all. Okay, so you found us over in our new temporary location. Don't worry. In faith, this is going to be 1 week only that we're over here. So this morning at like 10 a.m., our facilities director called me and he said, you have to move midweek. They're replacing the AC over in Wilson, and the company didn't warn them they were coming. And so they just kind of showed up and started working. And so instead of making you sweat over in Wilson, or somebody suggested we could do hot yoga over there. But instead of doing that, I decided, what? Yeah, I know. So we're over here tonight. So I'm glad that you found us. And I know this is a ridiculously huge room for our normal group of people. So just pretend that, you know, half the room doesn't exist. I know. So, and we normally, we'll have a few more join us, but anyway, sorry that the plane had to change tonight. But we do have tea because we're over here. We don't normally get tea. So there's some perks. And when we go back to Wilson, there's going to be new fresh AC, and it'll hopefully work a whole lot better because that sweet old AC was on its last leg. So, and this church proper is getting a new AC in a couple weeks too. So we're just, you know, bringing in all the new stuff. Yeah, I know it's going to be an interesting next few weeks, but, before we get started, so, there's a lot going on. And so this Friday coming up, September 20th, we are starting something that we're going to do monthly on the third Friday of every month. We are going to be over at church or Communities Under the Bridge. Okay. And if y'all have ever been there, they do so much good for the community. Blaze is actually starting a monthly clinic over there soon. And there's like all kinds of stuff that they're doing. But every Friday night there's a meal. And if y'all know Blake and Cabby Coffee, they lead another Bible study. They're there every week, but they need help. And so on the third Friday, that's kind of a tongue twister. On the third Friday of every month, we're going to go over there and just serve a meal. And the leadership team kind of tried it out over the summer. And y'all, this is great because you don't have to know what you're doing. You don't have to, you know, have gone to school to do this. You just show up and do what you're told and you serve a meal and you clean up you don't have to be there every month. So you just, as you're able to serve, we want to serve. And so, and Cappy even like literally laminated instructions for everybody. So it's very organized and very easy. So if you want to serve, let me know, because this time I'm just having you let me know and then I'll get you signed up. But in the future, you can sign yourselves up more easily. We'll work out a way to do that. But anyway, so that is coming this Friday. But then the next one, let me look at my calendar. If you can't make it this Friday, the next one will be in October on October 18th. Okay, so it's always going to be the third Friday. So just mark your calendars for October 18th, and we'll do that. And then also coming up, not this Sunday, but the next, so on the 29th, that's a fifth Sunday. There's five Sundays in the month of September, and so that means that we're going to have lunch in Wolfson, okay? So we're just going to go over there. We did this like a year and some change ago. We just went in there, we had lunch, we had pizza, and we played games, and it was really fun. So just board games. If you want to bring a game to play, you can do that. We can split up into groups, whatever you want to do. But it's really convenient. It's right after church. So just walk on over to Wilson with the new AC and enjoy a game day, game lunch. So that is coming. And we'll make those a quarterly gathering. Okay. So that is coming. And then, as always, how many of you are planning to go to retreat but you haven't signed up. Oh my gosh, everybody. Okay, so sign up for retreat. So that is coming up like really fast. If y'all want, all you need is $50. All you need is $50 to reserve your spot. And there are multiple people every single week that tell me that they want to pay for singles to go on retreat if they can't afford it. Okay, so we have lots of really generous church members. So reserve your spot or just let me know. They want to pay. And $200 in singles. Yes. Ha ha. Very well. Very good. But there's always folks that want to help you get to retreat. Okay. So make sure you sign up. It's always a really fun weekend. We're going to be out at Mo Ranch. The weather's always really nice. It's going to be great. Okay. So sign up for that. More info on that is coming. And y'all, next week. Okay. So I realize that every week has been different so far of midweek. Okay, so last week we were normal. We were in Wolfson. Today we had to move over here. Next week is going to be weird too. Okay, so next week the staff are going on our retreat. And so we're going to be in Port Aransas, which I'm very excited about. However, because all of us are going, that means there's no one here to lead midweek. And so we will not meet at Wolfson and we will not meet here. Nothing on church campus next week. If you want to pay your way and find your own lodging in Port Aransas, you're welcome to meet up with us on the beach. But yeah, I know last year we were in Big Bend. And so I think this is going to be slightly more relaxing. Although Big Bend was pretty awesome. Yes, I know. Well, I don't know. Don't knock on wood, right? So, hi y'all, come on in. Sorry, you found us. I'm sorry we had to move on you. You found us. There's a ton of food over there, okay? I realize this isn't a huge group for me to use a microphone, but my voice does not get loud on its own. And when I, yes, we're also recording that. Yes. So, y'all go ahead and grab food. There's a ton. So in lieu of midweek, last week I gave this announcement incorrectly. So there is a documentary called Americans with No Address. And I would love for y'all to go and attend. They moved the date. So last week I announced it incorrectly. It is on Tuesday. Okay, Tuesday of next week at Tri Point. If you have questions about Tri Point, Kathy knows where that is, okay? So if you go to Tri Point, they kind of have a gathering time at 5:30, and then they'll start the film at 6 o'clock. And then afterwards at 7:30, there's going to be a panel discussion. So it's about homelessness in America, okay? And so even though we don't have anything here on Wednesday, I would love for this to be, even though it's on a different night, in lieu of midweek, you can go and see this documentary. It's free. It's going to be a really good movie and a really important conversation. So I would just encourage y'all to go to that. And the H.E. Butt Foundation is putting this on, and they've supported our church a lot, and we love them. So the movie will start at 6. You can start gathering by 5:30. And so it's over at Tri Point, which is connected to Trinity Church over there. So it's going to be really great. I wish I could be there, but also I'm not upset about being on the beach. So so that's the plan for next week. Okay, and so coming, so like I said, next week there will be nothing here on campus. Okay, but I know this slide shows up funny on this wall, but I would love for y'all to mark your calendars for October 2nd. Okay, I know I announced this last week. October 2nd is going to be a great week to come to midweek and to invite a friend to, okay? So Dr. Michelle Cherbovich has become a friend of ours. She's a mentor of Blaze's. She works at University Hospital, and she is like one of the premier physicians in rehab, like in the nation. But she's super passionate about discipleship too, which she's a woman of many talents. And she was a single adult for quite some time, okay? So she got married kind of later in life. And so she was in singles ministry. For quite some time while she was in med school and residency and all those kinds of things. And so she loves that we have a singles ministry, and she loves that we want to talk about discipleship. So she's coming. So October 2nd is the week to bring a friend. Well, all of them are a week to bring the friend, but I'm really excited for October 2nd. And then the next week, October 9th, if y'all remember way back, like I had just started at the church, we did something called Mental Health Month. And this was like back in the COVID days when there was like less than this many people in 4th Street Crossing, right? There was, it was mostly online, but we had Dr. Christine Wong come to that, and she's amazing, and she's going to come back on October 9th. And so she's done some research. She's at LPC, so she's a counselor. She's done some research in how to deal with hurt in a church community. So if you've been in a faith community, in a church, or even in this church, and you've just experienced hurt, in that space, she's going to come and unpack that for us. How do we deal with that? How do we deal with that so that we can stay in our community, but really deal with things? Okay. So she is coming on October 9th. Oh, I almost changed the slide on you. I'm sorry. That would have been bad. Okay. And as always, we legitimately do have this in podcast form now. So I said that in faith a lot last year, but now we actually have it. So wherever you get your podcasts, there is Midweek in the City podcast. Okay. So these are two questions that I want us to talk about tonight. And this topic is going to seem a little random, but I promise it's going to make sense here in a little bit. So, and this, just like last week, I realized I kind of had like first day of first grade questions for everybody, but we're going to get into why these are relevant in a minute. So what is your favorite holiday? And what do you do to celebrate that holiday? So growing up, my favorite holiday was always Easter. But my family didn't go to church. We didn't go to church on Easter, which is kind of weird. Most people, like if you go to church at all, it's at least on Easter. We didn't do it, but we still had other fun things that I loved growing up about Easter. So what is your favorite holiday and what do you do to celebrate? And then second, is there a specific day of the year, like a specific holiday or a specific time of the year that has particular spiritual significance to you? So is that Christmas time? Is that the day you got baptized, like the anniversary of that day? Is there a time of the year or a specific anniversary of something that has some sort of spiritual significance to you? Okay. Even if it's just like, I like Christmas because we celebrate Jesus' birth. That's great too. But is there a specific time of year that really means something to you in your walk with the Lord? Okay, so let's talk about those two things around tables and then we will circle back up. And I'm going to try to get us out a little earlier tonight so that, because I lock up Wolfson on my own, but our maintenance team needs to lock up church proper building. And so we're not going to keep them here all night. So go ahead and talk about those two things and then we'll circle back up in a couple minutes. Okay, I know I didn't give you a lot of time, but really quickly, does anyone want to answer one of those questions? Do you have a favorite holiday, or is there a time of the year that feels especially spiritually significant to you? Yes. Okay, that's okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go. Okay, that's good. So, there you go. See, that's what we're gonna get into that in a second. So that's really good. So Sunday is a regular weekly rhythm of happiness, right? Of celebrating Jesus. Yeah. Anybody else have a holiday or a specific time of year or a specific day? Yeah. Yeah, you can say like the obvious ones, right? Christmas is. Yeah. 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 It's different. Yeah. Oh, cool. That's awesome. I love that. Yeah. That's what celebrating a holiday in a new culture or in a new way even. Yeah. Sometimes that's hard and sometimes that's really great, right? That's awesome. Cool. Also, y'all, I just got a text that Blaze passed his board exam. Yay. I saw that and I was like, I should probably acknowledge that, but anyway, yay. Okay, so thank y'all for sharing. So one of the ones for me was, this isn't something that we talk about at our church a whole lot. That's hopefully something that we're going to do soon, but Ascension Sunday. Okay, so that's celebrating the day that Christ like ascended into heaven, right? So at a different church one time I preached on Ascension Sunday and I was like, we need to talk about this more, right? Once you kind of think about it and you give some mental energy to it, you're like, this is really important, right? I want to do more around this day. So that's what now Ascension Sunday to me is just like, wow, I learned so much through that process and I have a little more spiritual like significance on that day after doing that study, right? So tonight I want us to talk about this idea of living seasonally. Okay, and there's a lot of things that could mean, right? And I've always had this pull towards doing things that feel particular to that season, right? So when it's fall, I want to do fall things. In the winter, I want to do winter things, right? And most of us are like that. Like, I don't want a popsicle in January, and I don't want hot apple cider in July, right? Because it just doesn't fit with it. Like, there's certain things that are just fitting with that season, right? Do what? Okay, well, ice cream, there are exceptions, right? Ice cream's the exception. But like, if you go to a restaurant or a coffee shop and they have a seasonal menu, right? A lot of people just put out their fall menus. I always order off the seasonal menu, right? Because it's like, I want to experience the season with all of my senses, particularly my taste buds. That's the most like important sense. But I always want to do things that have to do with that season, right? And so, and especially because I grew up in Illinois, the seasons had more defined the characteristics, right? The weather changed, right? We had an apple orchard near my house, and that was always a fun fall thing to do, right? In Texas, you kind of have to like imagine the seasons changing a little bit, right? There's still some change, right? December is still always nicer than July, right? We're currently in this fall season, and it doesn't feel any different from August, right? So you have to imagine a little bit, but basically, seasons are this way of marking time, right? They're this way that has been built into the world through the weather where we mark time. But there's other ways to mark time, right? So there's other seasons outside of the weather. So like baseball season is important in our household. Blaze is currently at home watching the Astros game because the baseball season is very important to us, right? There we go. Right, or the football season, right? Or there's different ways to mark time other than just the monthly calendar or the seasons, right? So the humans have marked time since humans have been around, right? We've always found ways to mark time, whether that's through the calendar, whether that's through the seasons or like rites of passage, right? When a boy becomes a man, right? That's a marking of time. So why do you think it's so important to us to mark time? Why have we always found ways to do that? Any guesses? I mean, I don't have a specific answer. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think there is a specific. Yeah. 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 That's good, right? To be able to mark growth. Yeah, self-assessment, right? Every time fall comes around, you're like, oh, I feel a little different from last fall, right? Or whenever the like coming of age is in a culture, you're like, okay, I feel different now once I've had my quinceañera, once I've had done this thing, right? Once we mark time, there's markers of growth, right? Any other suggestions? Yeah. Yeah, right. We mark, right? We just observe 9/11, right? There's even things that don't fall on the same day, right? There's, yeah. Brian, what were you going to say? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's good, right? Yeah, we had to, right? We had to know when to sow seeds and when to, yeah, right. Yeah, right. There's a season for everything, right? So we had to mark time to know what season we were entering, what season it was, so that like moons, right? Or knowing when animals had their kind of habit of moving through an area, right? What? Yeah, there you go. There you go. And so seasons, right? We've always marked time in some way, but specifically seasons like the weather, right? Is this regular way of marking time that God created. Right? God created seasons, albeit he like skipped over Texas with some of that, but he created seasons that repeat themselves, right? There's always fall, spring, winter, summer. I did that out of order, but there's always these four seasons, right? God doesn't invent new seasons every year. We can't even like fathom that. That would be insane, right? We would keel over and die if there was like a new season every time we entered a new season, right? That would be insane. And it'd be super hard to live that way because we're built into this rhythm of seasons, right? We're built to live in a cyclical kind of repeated way, right? And so this applies to our years, but like Jason was saying, it also applies to our weeks and to our days, right? We live in a rhythm of going to work and of coming home and of going to church on Sunday, observing Sabbath, right? Sabbath is kind of like a weekly anchor for us. But we also have rhythms to our days, right? We do things every day, and we do them the same way every day most of the time, right? You don't find a new way to brush your teeth every day. That would be insane too, right? You don't find a new way to take a shower every day, right? There are certain things that we do every day because that's just part of how we live, right? Because we need some repeated action over and over. It'd be overwhelming to have to come up with new rhythms every single day, right? And so these things kind of help steady us when life gets really crazy, right? There's these regular, predictable things that help steady us. So even though everything else is changing in life, right? Even though you're not the same person last fall that you are this fall, even though the world is changing all around us, there's these regular rhythms of life, right? September is going to come and it may or may not feel different from August, but it's coming, right? And so it's eventually there's going to bring cooler weather, right? These yearly rhythms stay the same. And so they help us also to not grow stale too, right? We start to get tired of summer and then the fall comes, right? And you're grateful for it. And you start to get kind of tired of that and then the winter comes, right? There's this regular rhythm of life. And I say rhythm specifically because the seasons help us do this. I was having a conversation with a friend the other day that we can talk a lot about balance in life, right? We talk about how do I balance my work life and my home life? How do I balance like having friends, but also going to the gym and eating right and being good at work, right? And there's all these things that we're trying to balance all the time, right? I'm trying to be a good wife and a good minister and a good friend and right? And most of the time, I'm not doing all of those things well at the same time, right? Most of the time, I'm picking one in that moment to do well, and the other things are kind of falling away, right? And so this idea of balance means that theoretically, if we're thinking of a scale that's balanced, right, it means they're equal, right? It means you're doing all of those things in equal measure, but that's not realistic, right? And so I had a friend that said, I prefer the word rhythm to balance when it comes to navigating these things in life, right? There are days where it's most important that you're a good employee, right? And then there's another day where it's much more important that you are a good daughter or son, right? And those things are important all the time, right? But they kind of, they work in rhythm with one another. Right? Is that a little more freeing than I just have to balance all of these things and be good at all of them all the time? Right? It's kind of like instead of a balanced scale, it's like a weaving, like a tapestry, right? This thread comes up and then it goes back down to make room for another one, right? So there's this rhythm that I think makes things a little less intimidating, right? I don't have to be good at everything every day. I just have to find the right rhythm there, right? And that doesn't mean it's not hard. But I think this idea of rhythm is really important to us, okay? But the seasons help us live in that rhythmic way, okay, where everything isn't flourishing all the time, but things kind of take their turn, just like nature does, right? And so we mark time in certain ways, and the way we mark time tells us what's important to us, right? Baseball is really important to Blaze, and so the entire year is centered, like, I know what I'm doing every night in October if we're in the playoffs, right? There's just certain things that you know what's important to you based on how you mark time, right? I only know the dates on the calendar of Wednesdays and Sundays because those are my busiest days, right? I can tell you in like a year from now what Sunday in, you know, whatever is going to be because I've thought about that. But a Thursday, I have no idea, right? The ways we mark time shows us what's important to us. And there's particular ways similarly, okay, that the church marks time. Okay. And our church, part of the why I wanted to talk about this, this idea of rhythm and this idea of seasons, is because we all have these ways of marking time. But the church, the Big C church, right, the church in the world, has had its own way of marking time for centuries. Okay. And it's one of the most useful ways that we can mark time in our own lives so that we don't just do the same thing every year so that we're growing. Okay. And so our church this year specifically, and hopefully in future years, is leaning more and more into what's called the liturgical calendar, okay? So this is the church's way of marking time. And our church, FBCSA, is leaning more into that liturgical calendar, okay? We'll get into that in a second, but it's this way that the church organizes time so that you can lean into the stories of Scripture, the person of Jesus, right? And so one of the ways that we're doing that, and part of why I wanted to talk about this, is so that you would like be prepared when we start doing this, starting with Advent and as we go throughout the liturgical year, so that you're not like, what's Lent? I don't know. Right. And you're kind of figuring it out as you go. I want to have this conversation so that when it comes time for these things, you're like, yeah, I'm excited for this season because I kind of know what it is. Right. And I'm going to discover it as I go. But these seasons are really important. Right. And so we wrote our own. Normally we use a different curriculum, but we wrote our own series that's going to be 6 weeks long, that's going to start the first Sunday of Advent and go through Epiphany. We'll get into what all these words mean, right? But we wrote our own 6-week series for that, because we wanted to lean into that season. It's a really important season on the church calendar, right? So we wrote our own series and we're going to study that season. Yeah. That's a really good question. Yeah. So we actually, so short answer is no, as far as like big church goes, just because if we add all the days, there would be like too many things. We're going to go slowly into some of these things. But we do have someone on staff who's a Messianic Jew, and they help our staff observe some of those things every once in a while. And so I can give you his information. He'd be a great person to talk to, because these days are really important, right? And we see this kind of seasons unveiling themselves in the Old Testament, right? On the feast days that the Lord commands, right? And it feels like by the time you get through the Old Testament, you're like, there's kind of a lot of days that they had to keep track of, right? There was a lot of feasting, a lot of fasting, a lot of specific days where they have to do specific things, right? So the liturgical calendar isn't as full as all of that. But there was a reason that the Lord gave them those things. Why did he give them all of those lists of like the feast of this and the festival of that? Why did the Lord prescribe those things in the Old Testament? To remind them of a certain event, right? Any other way to describe that? Yeah, right, yeah. 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 Yeah, that's good. Yeah, right. We have the Passover, right? Yeah. 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 Right. So it's pointing backwards. It's reminding us what God has done. And some of them are also pointing us forwards. Like, and by the way, right, we also have to look forwards, right? That these things aren't only in the past, right? They speak to a future reality, right? And so we wrote this Advent series, and we were so excited about it. And especially me and Aaron and Pastor Danny Panter, we were so jazzed about this Advent series that we were like, maybe we can do another one, right? And so I'm trying to convince Chris, which sounds like a... he's the head honcho, right? But me and Aaron and Danny are kind of trying to convince Chris that we can do this again. We can do this. We're either going to write a 3-part series, so Palm Sunday, Easter, and Ascension Sunday, or the Road to Emmaus Sunday, so the Sunday after Easter. Or we're going to write a much longer one that goes from Palm Sunday all the way to Pentecost. Okay, so I'm trying to convince them to do that. So maybe if we record this and then I give it to them, it'll be reason enough to do it. But there's a reason why I want us to lean into this. Okay, there's a reason why I'm trying to convince them to do it. It's a heavy lift. That's why they're like unsure. But there's a reason why we're doing this. Okay, because there's so much value to be found in the liturgical calendar. And I know some of you might be like, that sounds kind of like boring and like rote holidays that are just kind of the same every year. And we don't like, I don't know what some of that means, right? It's easy to think that these things sound like lost to history, or that they sound unexciting, right? But I want to redeem them a little bit. So as we're going through this, we're going to learn more about the liturgical calendar. But really quickly, who of you grew up with a church that observed the liturgical calendar besides Christmas and Easter on those specific days? Did you observe Advent, Lent, Epiphany, Eastertide, right? Any of those things. Did you grow up with any of those words? No. Yeah. Okay, Becca, did you say yes? You grew up with a church that talked about some of those things. Did they talk about all of them? Wow, look at them. Okay, cool. Okay, so I grew up, I love the church I grew up in. Okay, but I grew up in kind of a non-denominational church, and it was very seeker-friendly, right? And so this kind of stuff was like, whoa, whoa, that's like way over there, right? So we didn't talk about these things very much, but that means that I grew up thinking like, well, we have two high holidays, Christmas and Easter, and that's it, right? And you definitely should probably go to church on those days, even though my family didn't go on those days for whatever reason. I remember when I was like seven, my dad's mom, my grandma, called us on Easter. And she was like, well, what have you done today? And I was like, oh, well, we had an egg hunt. And she's like, well, did you go to church? And I was like, no, we don't do that on Easter. She was like, yeah, hand the phone to your dad, right? She was not happy with us because you're supposed to go to church on Easter, right? But as a seven-year-old, I didn't know that because that's not what we did. But they didn't utilize liturgy and the liturgical calendar in this way. So, and hear me, a church does not have to utilize liturgy. It doesn't have to be liturgical. It doesn't have to use the calendar in order to be a good church, right? This is a tool that you can use or not use. I think it's really awesome and I think it's really helpful, but it is not in any way mandatory for a church to use these things at all, right? And so if it's going to become legalistic, then I'd rather you just not even observe it at all, right? It's not meant to be a have to. It's meant to be a get to in a way to get to know Jesus better, okay? Because it's a tool that we use to mark time in order to orient our lives around the person of Jesus, right? So we talked about like, no, I'm joking, but part of our lives are oriented around the Houston Astros, right? Because we observe the baseball season, right? But when you observe the liturgical calendar, it's a tool that helps you say, this is something that's important to me. Jesus is important to me. So I'm going to orient my year around who he is, right? And the seasons in the liturgical calendar are going to help me do that. Okay, they're going to walk you through the life of Jesus and the stories in scripture. And it's going to say, Jesus is important to me. So I'm going to orient my time, not just on Sundays, but throughout the year around who Jesus is, right? Because liturgy, the word liturgy, literally means the work of the people, right? So it's this idea that it's just the lives of the people in their day-to-day worship, right? Because we talk about, when you think of the word liturgy, where do you experience liturgy? A church, right? And that's true, right? There's liturgy on a Sunday. One of the things we do in the traditional worship is there's a scripture reading, and then there's this, and then that, right? There's a liturgy that you can kind of see in the bulletin, right? But there's more liturgy in life than just on Sunday mornings, okay? So like all of our days, all of our moments have liturgy to them, right? So your Monday morning liturgy might be waking up and making coffee and taking the dog out and doing those things, right? Now, that's not to like demote liturgy to mean nothing, but it means that there's a pattern and a way of living that you always have on a Monday morning, right? So part of my Wednesday night liturgy, even though we're breaking with that pattern tonight, is we have midweek and then I do the dishes of the serving utensils, unless David beats me to it, right? So an important part of my Wednesday liturgy is doing the dishes from our dinner together, right? And then on Thursday morning, I go and I pick up the leftovers from our Wednesday night meal and I take it over to the staff break room. And while I'm doing that, I'm thinking about, okay, how did midweek go last night? Is there anything we need to change for next week, right? And that's just part of my liturgy, is washing the dishes and taking the food over, right? And that sounds like kind of lowbrow. That sounds like not super interesting, right? But it's actually really meaningful, right? It's a way that I've baked in kind of these practices that help me meditate on what the Lord has done, right? And so the church gives us, yeah, go ahead. The work. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Some sort of intentional. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. And that doesn't, yeah. So when we think of liturgy, we think of like high church, right? And this very holy thing. And that's true. But part of when we talk about liturgy on a Monday morning, that has nothing to do with church. Part of that is we're saying every moment is holy, right? So me washing the dishes is still a holy thing because I'm doing it in a prayerful way, right? So hopefully as we go through our liturgies, our intentional kind of processes of life, we are starting to see that it's not just on Sunday that we're worshiping, right? There's liturgy in every day of every week, right? And so there's more intentional and exciting and celebratory liturgy happening on Sunday, right? But that doesn't mean that our Monday is less holy, right? And that doesn't mean that we can't invite the Lord into some of those things. Does that make sense? And so that's what I want us to think about that a little bit, because the church gives us this yearly liturgy, right? It gives us this, not only a Sunday morning, but an entire year. Okay, so here's an example of the liturgical calendar. Okay, have y'all seen something like this before? So if you Google liturgical calendar, a lot of them look just like this. There's some variance here and there, right? Some traditions put more things on the circle than others. Some have more things filling the circle. Yeah, so we're going to get to ordinary time in a second. I also preached once on ordinary time, and I was like, ordinary time is awesome after I preached on it. But right, so it's not all liturgical calendars look the same. Okay, some people add more to it. Some people take some of those things away. Okay, and that right there should tell us that it's not meant to be a rote, legalistic thing, right? Because the liturgical calendar looks different for everybody. That should tell us right there that this is a suggestion, it's a tool, it's a thing that we can use to grow closer to Jesus, but it doesn't mean we have to all do it the exact same way, right? The Catholic liturgical calendar is going to be a little more full. The Anglican is a little less full than that, right? And so we're going to go through that in a second. So the liturgical calendar, it's not tied like specifically to Scripture. Some of the ways that the calendar was formed just happened over history and over time of Christians trying to figure out what is the best liturgy for our entire year? How do we mark time in a way that orients our life around Christ? Okay, and so what is the first thing that you notice? Why is this different from a normal monthly calendar? It's a circle, right? Sorry, some of my questions are going to be like really obvious. Like last week, I was like, what's the story of Joseph about? Joseph, right? It looks like a pie chart. It's not a pie chart. It's a circle, right? Right, yeah, I know, right? Yeah, it is not to scale. Why do you think they built it as a circle? It repeats. Now, so does the calendar year, right? After December, we always come back to January. Yeah. Yeah. Squares are less effective. That's funny. I like that. Right. But there's a few ways, right? Circles represent the Trinity, sure, right? Oh, eternity. I was like, I guess they can represent the Trinity. Yeah, eternity, right? We're continuously on this process, right? Yeah, right. If it were linear, it would just be a totally different thing, right? And so part of that is once you go around the circle once, you're not just done with it, right? You don't say, well, awesome, I did the liturgical calendar and now I've done it, right? It's not something to be accomplished. Because each time you go through it, you're going to experience it differently, right? Do you experience Christmas the same way now as you did 10 years ago? Is it more meaningful now than it was 10 years ago? Sometimes less meaningful, right? Are you going to experience Christmas in 20 years or Advent in 20 years the same way that you do now? No, right? Because we're growing closer and closer, hopefully, towards Christ-likeness as we go through this, right? So every time we go into Advent, it's a new Advent. It's a new experience for us, right? It's not just regular old December. It's a new Advent, right? A new experience with that season. And that's the beauty of it, right? This circle kind of meets us wherever we're at. Okay, because in Greek, and Alex, you might have to correct my pronunciations. Okay, in Greek, when I was looking through this, there's two different words that we can think of when we're trying to define time. Okay, so there's chronos. Did I say that right? I took Greek in undergrad, but it's been a minute. So there's chronos, okay, and that means like our regular experience of time, right? The monthly calendar, the way that we go through the months and the years, right? The linear evolution of time. Okay, the progression like we normally think about it. And then there's kairos. Right. And so this is the fullness of time. Right. So not just a linear day by day, month by month, but Kairos. Okay. It means the fullness of time, which is really time beyond time. Okay. So kind of a holy understanding of time. Because as we're going through Chronos, Maybe. No, Lord have mercy. Okay. Well, just look at this. I don't know this room. Okay, so as we go through, I'm not going to deal with that. So as we're going through Chronos, Okay. Through the help of the Holy Spirit and through the help of tools like the liturgical calendar, okay, we can experience this other form of time, which is kairos, right? This fullness of time. And Celtic traditions call this experience a thin place. Okay, so it means this kind of experience where heaven and earth meet. Okay, we're going through chronos like we do in earthly time. But when we're able to use things like the liturgical calendar and through the help of the Holy Spirit, and we enter into this like kairos, this fullness of time, there's this thin space where heaven and earth meet. Right? Have you had experiences like that where you're like, I'm having this really experience where I feel close to heaven even though I'm on earth, right? Sure. Like, and that could be anything, right? There's this thing where you're suddenly really aware that God is present to you, right? When I'm watching other people get baptized, I'm like falling out. Like, I feel so close to heaven right now. Yeah, right? There's this moment where you're like, I'm in the presence of God, right? And there's this, you're experiencing this fullness of time, right? So we're going about our earthly life, but we experience a little taste of heaven, right? And so heaven and earth meet in this way. And so when we orient our lives around Jesus, we experience that more and more, right? We experience that kairos time more and more. And so it's in the cyclical calendar, in this way, we're drawn into the story of God, right? We're drawn into the rituals, the traditions, the memories that help us know who we are as people of God, right? Because our normal monthly calendar doesn't really tell a story. It just says it's this day on this day of the week in this month, right? That's all it really tells us. But the liturgical calendar is meant to tell us a story about who we are, right? It's meant to say who we are as people of God and children of God, right? And so the more that we use this tool, the more that we go around the circle every year, inevitably, right? The more we realize who we're supposed to be, right? The more we live into what we're called to as the people of God. And over again every year, sorry, I keep pointing up over here, right? Every year, the more we do that, the more we live that story as if it's our own story, because it is, right? It's no longer somebody else's story that we're learning about. Every time we go around the circle, it becomes more and more our story, right? And so it grounds us in these heavenly rhythms so that even when life is crazy, we're able to come back and find our roots in Jesus, because he's the person that we've centered our lives around, right? Okay, and I'm going to try really hard to do this because I want you to be able to see this. But I want to go through the calendar really quick. And if you have questions, oh my gosh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. Maybe. Okay, just whatever. On your phones, Google liturgical calendar. Okay, because a similar one is going to pop up. Okay. So when is the new year for our normal calendar? January 1st, right? Okay. The new year in the liturgical calendar is not January 1st. It starts with Advent, right? And so when we're going around the circle, Advent is here. Yeah, Advent. So the liturgical calendar does not line up with our monthly calendar. And I think there's some intention there. We're intentionally living by a different rhythm than the world is. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't enjoy those rhythms that the world sets, right? But we're intentionally living by a different rhythm. Okay, so the new year, the new liturgical year starts the first Sunday of Advent. Okay, and so Advent is the 4 weeks. This is probably the one that, even if you only did Christmas and Easter, Advent might be the one that you're most familiar with outside of those things. Okay, so Advent is the 4 weeks before Christmas. Okay, and so this is how our church is going to start here in December. This is how we're sort of entering the liturgical world, okay, is we're starting with Advent. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good question. That would be a really deep dive, like a super deep dive. No, I get what you mean. It's a deep dive that I probably couldn't even answer very well. But yeah, they have their own calendar system, right? That wasn't necessarily holy as it was practical, right? But they built their holidays into that calendar system, right? Yeah. Right. Yeah, it was lunar. It was based on the lunar calendar, right? It was based on the moons, right? So, yeah, that's true, right? At its inception, right? It was built around that, and it continues to be, right? So we start with Advent, and it's the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, right? And so this isn't, and the word Advent, we have Advent calendars, right, where there's like little chocolates. I had a friend bought her son like a Star Wars advent calendar, right? There's advent calendars where it's basically a countdown to Christmas and you open up a little door or a little flap and there's chocolate, right? Some of us had that growing up and we didn't know that advent actually had a lot more significance than chocolate, right? I had some of those and those are my favorite things. It was like a little Christmas every day, right? You open up and you get your little chocolate, right? But advent has so much more to offer than just a countdown to Christmas, right? It's not a timer that we set on that first Sunday of Advent. It's the season of preparation, right? We're preparing for the birth of Christ again. We're preparing for the incarnation, right? We're waiting because there's how many years, and this is like super Bible trivia, and at the end of the Old Testament until the first book of the New Testament, do you know how much time passed in between those two? 400 years, right? Close, yeah. A lot of time passed, right? And there's this kind of dark era, yeah, where there's not scripture in the way that we have normally, right? There's this dark era, and it's kind of like you're entering into that era where after, you know, we get the stories of the Old Testament at Advent, it's like we travel back in time, and we go to that time, and we're in the dark, and we're waiting. Yeah. Right. Right. Even though it was dark, and we were just waiting. And they're like, when is the Messiah coming? We thought a Messiah was coming, right? A lot of time has gone by, right? There's this dark waiting. And you kind of enter into that waiting season, okay? And you might say, like, well, why are we waiting for Jesus to come back? He already did that, right? We celebrate Christmas because he already came back, right? But part of it is you're re-entering the lives of ancient Christians. But also, because we're not just looking back, Advent is also about remembering that Jesus is coming back again, right? We're still in the church age, right? We're still in the age of the church where we are waiting for Jesus to come back, right? So a lot of times we think about Advent as, oh, well, we're just pretending to wait for Jesus even though he already came, right? Like we're acting something out, right? But no, Advent is real because we're always in this posture of waiting for Jesus to come back, right? I was reading a book as I was writing for this series and the author, Tish Harrison Warren, who has come to Midweek before, and I'm really trying to get her to come back, she wrote a book about Advent, and she said, the posture of a Christian is one of waiting. That's not fun, right? That's, we don't like waiting in line for things, right? But the primary posture of a Christian is waiting, because we're waiting on the return of Jesus, right? And so Advent kind of it unpacks some of those things for us. Okay, so then, can you imagine how much more special Christmas is when you've done this, like, waiting and this yearning, and you're re-entering the lives of the ancient Israelites, saying, when is the Messiah coming? Right? And then we go into Christmastide, okay? And so Christmas isn't just one day, even though that's what we celebrate, right? There's this period of time, right? What? Yeah, 12 days, right? The 12 days of Christmas thing is real, even though we make weird songs about it, right? But, right, yeah, so, right, I know. So Advent leads all the way up to Christmas, right? And then there's 12 days of Christmas, okay? And so this is like celebration. Christ has come. Emmanuel, God is with us in the flesh, right? And we're celebrating. It's not just one Sunday. It's a whole 2-week, 12-day season, right? And so if you want to reorient some of your celebrations, and if you don't want Christmas to be over, then keep celebrating for 12 more days because that's what we're kind of supposed to do, right? It's not just to be, it's supposed to be one and done. Okay, and then we go into Epiphany. Okay, and I'm really sorry it's not working, but you go into Epiphany, and what is Epiphany commemorating? The Magi, right? The wise men, they come and bring gifts to Jesus, right? They come from afar. That's the word in my translation that I use, right? And so it means a few things. Okay, so the wise men follow the star. They come from far away. So part of this is talking about all of the world is going to be invited into the family of God. Yeah. Now, but it also means, too, that in the season of Epiphany, we're recognizing the divinity of Jesus, right? The wise men didn't come because they just heard a baby was born. That's not really worth traveling that far, right? That's not that exciting. They came because they knew that Jesus was different, right? And so in the season of Epiphany, we're thinking about how Jesus is different, how Jesus is God and fully man, right? And so we're looking at the gifts of the Magi. We're looking at his baptism, right? When God speaks at his baptism, we're looking at the transfiguration, right? We're looking at all of these stories in his life where we say, whoa, Jesus isn't just a good guy. He's a lot more than that, right? And we're kind of discovering who Jesus is during Epiphany. Okay. And so a lot of people just do like one Sunday of Epiphany or like a couple weeks of Epiphany, or you can take it as long as you want all the way up until Ash Wednesday. That's a long time, right? So everybody celebrates this differently. So Ash Wednesday is what? Sorry, this feels like a school quiz, but it's the first day of Lent, right? And so our church, the last few years, have celebrated Ash Wednesday or observed Ash Wednesday, and it's been really impactful for me. Personally, Ash Wednesday is one of my, in the last 5 to 10 years, I found a lot of spiritual significance in Ash Wednesday, okay? And so it starts this period of time of 40 days, and we're a little more familiar with this one, right? 40 days, except for Sundays, where we're fasting, and it's kind of the season of like a spiritual tune-up, right? Where you're examining your heart, and we do this every week, right? We do this every day, hopefully, but especially in the season of Lent, we're considering, okay, where have I gone astray? Where do I need to refocus my life? What should I take out of my life so that I can focus more on Jesus, right? And we practice fasting. We practice more time in prayer, right? And we're kind of working that muscle of saying no to temptation, right? When we fast, okay, have you ever fasted from like food and you've never been offered more free food in your life than when you're fasting, right? Like inevitably, that's just what happens, right? I remember at Baylor in undergrad, our church did like a corporate fast, and it was like everywhere I went, it was like free food. I mean, college campuses are flowing, but it was like 5 times what it normally was, right? And so as you're fasting, part of that is you're exercising this muscle of saying no to temptation, right? As Jesus did in the desert, right? And so we're spending that time preparing for Easter, right? Lent and Advent are kind of similar to each other because they're seasons of preparing, right? And so then can you imagine if you ever practice Lent, how much more amazing and celebratory Easter Sunday is, not just because you get to have what you were fasting from again, but because you've walked through the life of Jesus in a season of preparation and a season of fasting, right? But right before that, we get to Holy Week, right? And our church has done this differently over the last few years. I'm hoping we do again what we did last year, where it was like a full-blown sensory experience. But you're walking through the last moments of Jesus' life kind of in real time, right? And so you're walking with Jesus to the cross, essentially, right? And that ends with Good Friday and then Holy Saturday, right? Where all is dark, all hope is lost. Jesus is in the ground, right? Or in the tomb. And then finally Easter Sunday comes, right? And it's this beautiful, this Alleluia, right? And it's this beautiful Resurrection Sunday. But just like Christmas, Easter lasts a lot longer than that Sunday, right? Easter is like the quintessential Sunday, like the Sunday of Sundays, but it's more than that. It actually lasts for 50 days is Eastertide. We're celebrating the resurrection. We do that every Sunday. But during the year, you celebrate the resurrection for 50 days. There's a long season of celebrating that Christ has rose from the dead. Okay, and then Pentecost comes. Pentecost is the Holy Spirit enters the world, right? The church is born. Our church has observed this with a combined service, right, in multiple languages the last few years. Okay. And the sending of the Holy Spirit. And then we get into ordinary time that Jason brought up. Okay, why is it called ordinary time? Nothing's going on. It's the like, yeah. So I've always, my theory is that August is the worst month because there's not a holiday in August. So August is like the epitome of ordinary time to me. I think it's very boring and hot and unexciting, right? Yeah. Sure. So Ascension Sunday is part of that Eastertide season. Does that make sense? Yeah, sorry, I just skipped right over that, even though I said it was really important to me. yeah, Ascension Sunday is happening in that Eastertide, right? So you're kind of, after the resurrection, Jesus is walking around and cooking breakfast and doing things after the resurrection, right? There's this whole period of time before he ascends to heaven. And so part of that Eastertide is walking with Jesus more through some of those things, right? And so, and then you get to Pentecost, right? And the birth of the church happens. And then there's this ordinary time. But other people, it wasn't on that one, other traditions call it kingdom tide. But ordinary time is the more normal way to say that. Okay. And part of it is that not all of the Christian life is done on feasting and fasting days. Not all of it is done in spiritual high moments or spiritual low emotional moments, right? It's a day-to-day, day in and day out. There's liturgy on a Monday morning because the life that we're called to is a holy life every moment of every day, right? So part of ordinary time is just to say, Yeah. So keep going, right? There's, you know, we're not celebrating something right now. We're not walking through a specific story right now. We're doing what we've been called to do, right? We're in the church age. We're the church doing what the church has been called to do, right? And that's, so not all of it is exciting, because I always want to jump from holiday to holiday because the in-between stuff is boring, right? It's not as exciting. And so sometimes we can want to do that too. And so we make up our own like Hallmark holidays to fill in the gaps sometimes, right? Yeah, but that's exactly right. If every day is special, no day is special, right? And so there's this time that's spent that's not, you know, walking through a specific story of scripture. It's not a huge feast day. It's not a time of penitence. You're just living your life representing what Christ has done for us and doing the work of the church, right? The work of the church is day in and day out. It's not always very exciting. As a minister, I can tell you, I love my job, but day in, day out, sometimes you're just day in and day out, right? And so part of ordinary time, I think of at the end of the Old Testament, right? In the minor prophets, they were in this like, they were all griping and they were all kind of like blah, 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 right? The ancient Israelites were not like excited about anything. Yeah, it's a hard read because you're like, oh my gosh, kiddo. Like there's this, but I kind of love ordinary time because what I call it is like the August, it's like August is quintessential ordinary time because it feels like the dog days of summer, right? This like hot slog that you're sort of just over and you want the fall air to come and you're just kind of like doing this, right? But God is not distant, even though that season is not very exciting, right? The Spirit is still at work, even though you'd really rather move on to Advent so that things can be more exciting again and there's fun music, right? And so right now, we're in ordinary time, right? Right now, so this, we started with December, basically, the first Sunday of Advent, and we've gone all the way to Pentecost, so it's normally around May, right? And now from May to end of November, early December, we're just in this ordinary time, right? And we're just kind of chugging along, and there's things that we fill in the gaps there with, but it's not a feasting or fasting thing, it's just time. Right. But I love the liturgical calendar because it also keeps us present to the season that we're in, right? I always want to jump to the next exciting thing. Like when I talk about me and Blaise just went on a big vacation, and as soon as we got back, I wanted to plan another vacation because I get the post-vacation blues, right? Where you're like, the exciting thing that was coming is over, and now there's nothing exciting anymore, right? And so, I mean, we did plan another vacation because I always want to be looking forward to something, right? You always want to jump to the next exciting thing. Yeah, I know, right? You're like, there's ways to do that. That's not as expensive, right? But we always want to jump to the next exciting thing, right? We want to jump out of the season that we're in into a new season, right? But part of ordinary time being so long, it kind of makes you sit in some of those things. It makes you wait, right? It makes you be present in the season that you're in, right? And all of these things. Advent makes you not just jump to Christmas, right? Advent makes you yearn and wait and long for Christmas, right? Lent does the same thing with Easter, right? If you don't observe Holy Week and Lent, then you just jump straight to the resurrection, but you miss the crucifixion, right? You can't rise from the dead if you didn't die. You know what I mean? So if you jump straight to Easter, but you've missed all of those things that come before it, you're not celebrating with the magnitude that you should be, right? So the liturgical calendar helps us keep in the season that we're in, right? It keeps us from jumping to the joy of Christmas without the pain of waiting in Advent, right? It keeps us from jumping to the triumphal victory of Easter without going through the desert with Jesus, right? We don't want to do that. We want to walk through the whole life of Jesus every year, because there's formation that happens in those seasons, right? There's formation that happens in ordinary time when we'd really rather it just move straight along to Christmas, right? There's formation that happens in waiting seasons that doesn't happen in feasting, triumphal seasons, right? So, because all fruit doesn't grow in every season, right? Apples grow in a specific season. Pecans grow in a different season. Oranges grow in a different season, right? It would be silly to expect all fruit to grow in all seasons, right? Thank you. You're making me feel very profound. Right? Things don't grow year-round, right? And so there's spiritual formation, there's sanctification to be had in every single season because that happens differently in ordinary time than it does at Advent. Thank God, right? Because I want Advent. I want the like hopeful anticipation of like, I'm not just waiting in the dark. I'm waiting knowing that Jesus is coming, right? There's this hopeful anticipation that we get to wait with. And at Easter, I want to celebrate at Easter, but that's probably not the season that I'm working on other things in my life, right? Sanctification happens in every season in a different way. And so for those of you that have observed the liturgical calendar, what? Yeah. 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 Exactly. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's not just because we're sinful that we need the calendar and seasons, right? I think seasons were before the fall, right? The Lord created fruit to grow in different seasons. Right. Right. Exactly. I love that so much of scripture takes place in gardens, right? Because that reminds us that there's a season for these things, right? And even in the new heaven and new earth, even when all things are brought unto Jesus, right? Even when all of this is made right, there's still seasons because we're meant to live in that way. Because I think that's what, when I was a little girl and I imagined heaven, I was like, I know it's a good thing, but that sounds like the same really great thing every day, every day, every day. And I would kind of get like scared. Have y'all ever had that? Okay. Like, you're like, I know it's going to be good. And I know God is nice, but that kind of sounds like I can't imagine that, right? Because it's the same really good thing over and over, right? But that's not really what it, I mean, we won't know till, right? Exactly. Right. Exactly. Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. And so we're in that, but then there's still these seasons, right? And we still get to express that love in seasons, right? And so anyway, do you see the value in some of this stuff? And if you haven't observed it, or even if you've, it's okay if you like dip your toe in it and you say, okay, I'm going to try Advent, but then all of that other stuff, we're just going to hang on. Okay. That's really okay. It's probably good to do a slow roll into some of these things. Okay. Before you're, there's some really obscure days on there that we didn't even talk about, right? But do you see the value in going through that circle all the way through instead of ping-ponging from Christmas to Easter, right? Yeah. Did you have something? So it was developed over time and kind of over like a really long time, right? So, and in different parts of the world. So yes, some of the early church said, okay, we obviously need to remember Easter and to celebrate the resurrection, right? Yeah, Christmas wasn't a big thing at all in the early church, right? And so in that early church, the resurrection was kind of the primary holiday, right? And then a different people group at a different time said, but the whole incarnation thing is like really important too, right? And so we should commemorate that day. And the way we decide what Christmas Day is like totally weird and not actually that spiritual. Yeah, Kathy. Well, yes, it's spiritual, but not. Right. Yeah. Yeah, right. And that's, there are real, right. Right. And that's what it is confusing when. Right. Sure. Okay. Yeah. And the same. Yeah. But I get what you mean, right? It is, there are in different cultures, right? There's different. Right. Sure. Yeah. You don't celebrate those things, right? And so, like we were saying, different people groups, like now we're observing the incarnation with Christmas, right? And then we kind of build, and someone was like, well, you know, I want to walk through the life of Jesus leading up to Easter, right? And some of that was they would take pilgrimages to the Holy Land, And they wanted to, like, you don't just go there for one day. You kind of want to go there for a while, right? And so you go through the holy sites. Yeah, right. Right. There's these pilgrimages that we take, and that means we want to be on this journey longer, right? So we're going to observe the whole Holy Week, right? And then people are saying, but we need to prepare for the incarnation, right? We need to wait alongside ancient Christians, right? So these things are developing in different cultures. The East, Eastern Christians developed Epiphany. We were like, that's a really good idea. And we started doing it too, right? They were bigger on Epiphany than the incarnation. And then we've all kind of like rolled into this, what? Yeah, right? There's this, they're coming from afar, right? There's this global invitation of Jesus is really important, right? And so they're latching onto Epiphany, but the West sort of latched onto the incarnation. They were like, what if both are really important? We should just both do both, right? And so it develops in this slow way, and might continue to develop, right? But it's this, it's easy to look at that circle and to look at all those days and to be like, well, isn't that just kind of, don't I want my faith to be just personal and for it to be real? And if I just do the same thing that we've always done, then is it really real, right? If I just say memorized prayers, then is it really real, right? But there's this beautiful connection to saying ancient words and observing ancient days with Christians across history and across time and across space, right? And so I would encourage you to, if it starts to feel rote, then stop, right? Then reexamine those things. But there's this beauty in participating in something ancient, right? Because it, all of it is meant to circle around the person of Jesus, right? Yeah. And so I want us to, before we, I know it's, I'm already past what we said we were going to do. So what I want us to do is around tables, pray for one another. Okay. But consider this week. And I realize that this was just a lot of information, so I hope it didn't bore you to tears. But as we're going, we're still in ordinary time. Right. There's still kind of this dog days of summer slog that we're going through. Okay. But there's purpose in it. But as we look towards Advent, which is going to come faster than we know it, right? Because the fall always like zips by. I wanted to talk about it now instead of in November when it would make a little more sense, because I want us to have time to consider like, okay, if I'm going to do Advent, how might I do that? Right. Is that a devotional? Is that spending time in prayer with somebody? Is that observing? Fasting is that, you know, it can look a whole host of different ways. I was writing the Advent part of this devotional and I was like, I really need to do more about Advent. Like I fast during Lent, but I don't do anything during Advent, right? And I was like, I need to do something physically different during that time to really worship better during that time, right? And that was just me. But whether, regardless of what time of the year you choose, right, as we're entering Advent and as we're looking towards these things, I wanted to give us time to say, okay, there's something that I want to latch onto here in the calendar. And there's a way that I can intentionally choose to orient my time around the person of Jesus during the year that might, you might add as we start the new liturgical year, okay? As we look towards December, what might you do differently as we're working around the circle together, okay? So I just want you to meditate on some of those things this week. And as we look towards December, it'll come quickly, but I do want us to pray for each other around tables. Okay, so even if it's just that, help us to orient our lives around you, Lord. If nothing else, that's what we want to get out of this, right? That we want all of our time to be oriented around the person of Jesus. That doesn't mean you can't observe Hallmark holidays or have fun on Halloween or go to a Valentine's Day party or whatever, right? That's not to say that those things aren't fun or good. It does mean, though, that we can choose to orient our time around Jesus. We can orient our lives differently. And so as we go, pray for one another and just consider ways that you might do that this year, okay? In the new year, which starts in December for the church. Okay, so let's pray for each other and then we'll go.